Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Could you believe that a Supreme Court Justice, Ruth Ginsburg, she... feeling the same way about our Constitution. You got to hear, watch her. This is her speaking to somebody about wanting to have a new Constitution for their country. And she is actually supposed to uphold our Constitution. She's the one that the Supreme Court is supposed to look at every law passed by Congress to make sure it's constitutional.
It's amazing.
And she is actually rejecting our Constitution, just like these.
This is amazing.
Take a look at this.
So that's one milestone. And the next will be the drafting of a constitution. Now, I can't speak about what the Egyptian experience should be because I'm operating under a rather old constitution. The United States, in comparison to Egypt, is a very new nation. And yet we have the oldest written constitution still in force in the world. I would not look to the U.S. Constitution if I were drafting a constitution in the year 2012. I might look at the Constitution of South Africa. That was a deliberate attempt to have a fundamental instrument of government that embraced basic human rights, had an independent judiciary. It really is, I think, a great piece of work that was done. Much more recently than the U.S. Constitution, Canada has a Charter of Rights and Freedoms. It dates from 1982. You would almost certainly look at the European Convention on Human Rights.
Think about it. The job of the 8 Supreme Court justices,
nine,
is to actually make sure things are constitutionally sound. That's the whole purpose she's supposed to be there. You got to get a copy.
A life appointment.
Which that needs to change. But you got to get a copy of the Constitution. I just read the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution yesterday. You need to read it continually and get it inside of you. Most people have never even read it. Mm-mm. And don't even know what we're talking about. But if you do away with this, every right you have, Washington, D.C., everything changes as you know it. There is wisdom that God allowed this nation to come up, and a lot of it is written in the U.S.
That's
Constitution.
Right.
But I think about this. We're sending our young people to universities, and universities are going, you know, get rid of God, get rid of the Constitution, get rid of everything that we counted on. That the whole purpose of universities in the very beginning of America was to teach people biblical principles
in
the Bible and how to read so that they actually can, you couldn't even be a lawyer unless you actually had read through the Bible and memorized much scripture.
Wow.
And so, and today, the universities are working against the parents. They're working, not all of them, but 70% of Christians reportedly going to college campuses, secular college campuses, turn away from God. 50% is reported that go to Christian campuses, turn away from God. So if you got a parent that's praying about whether you should go or not, that's probably why, because they're thinking you're going to, you know, it's going to hurt you going there. But think about this. I want to say this because we always talk about, you know, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. If you look at history, and you think about it, you think about the Civil War that took place in America. It was this horrific war where there were 625,000 to 850,000 Americans' lives were lost, which was a huge part of America at that time, you know, during the Civil War. But right prior to that Civil War, that's when a great awakening took place in America. Prior to this war, a great awakening took place, and it changed the DNA of people's hearts and how things operate. And you think, I mean, this is great, but God was preparing America for what was about to take place. A great loss of life was going to take place.
Wow.
So when you see this glooming war and these tensions coming, and you know, you can begin to believe God for a great awakening and for a revival. I think about World War I. You know, right before World War I, there was a huge revival that took place that touched the world, the Azusa Street Revival. But think about it, 38 million lives were lost in the war. What does that mean? You have a chance to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life now. You need to get to know God, because what's coming on the face of this earth, there's going to be a great loss of life. Who would have ever thought there would be such great loss of life when the Civil War took place, the biggest known ever in the history of a Civil War? I mean, Syria right now has 250,000 about lost in this war, but we had up to 850,000 reports are in our own country. And so I'm telling you, this is a time for you to begin to share the gospel and help people get right and believe God for a great awakening to come to prepare us for what's about to happen. And God will prepare us. But things are happening. Things are being father filtered. But understand, for some reason, history says right before these tragedies happen and these difficult times and great loss of life, that an outpouring happens. If we believe God, if we pray for, if we cry out to God, God responds.
We'll be right back.
If you would drive through this area, you would see the devastation. It's just crazy the amount of devastation. House is totally gone. Apartment complex behind me here, people still don't have electric water. We're bringing them food. Yesterday I brought about 200 meals out here to them yesterday, and we came back tonight to give them dinner. When I saw Operation Blessing, I seen exactly what they were doing, how they were setting up the organization. They were so organized. They came in with the food trailers. They had everything set in place to know that they need to get the management of it out there so they can control a lot of the volunteer work. So it goes a lot smoother by having Operation Blessing involved, and they get involved with different churches. So anything anybody can do to help Operation Blessing, they're amazing people, the people that are running this show, and they do great work, and it's an amazing thing to watch and see. It's actually a blessing to sit back and observe the love and compassion, because that's the biggest thing that you see when you're here. You get all the gratefulness from the people, but you get to see the love and compassion. Now, if you can't make it here, there's other ways you can help and serve also these people that are in such need right now, by going to OB.org and partnering with them so that they can get supplies to bring out here, because believe me, the semi trucks are rolling in. I saw probably 10 of them today. And they'll utilize that to the best abilities for these people out here, because they are truly, truly in need.
Hey, Mike, can I talk to you?
You bet, Logan. What's up?
I want to tell you something that God just told me.
Okay.
Last night, my dad was roping this calf. And this calf had been born from a really old cow. She didn't have really the greatest milk. She didn't have, like, the vitamin C and stuff.
Okay.
She broke her back. And this morning, I went out and put her down myself. I was talking to God. I was asking God why. She was special. And God said, you know, Logan, my son was special, but he died for a purpose. It's kind of the same thing. That calf was close to me, and God's son was close to him.
Logan, you're so right. It's true. Think you're gonna be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. But I just wanted to tell you guys that is so important. Just remember, when you lose a loved one or a pet, always remember that God gave his son too, and he understands. He will always understand. He will always just run to him.
Logan, you're wiser than you know, buddy.
Oh, I just figured I'd better call and share with you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, every single day we take a moment for a wisdom moment, you know, and one way we do that is there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and there's you know, up to 31 days in a month. And so we just look at whatever day of the month it is. And today's day of the month is the 26th. So we're looking at Proverbs 26 today. And the verse that we're going to talk about is Proverbs 26, chapter 26, verse 26, verse 23 through 26. It reads, like a coating of silver dross on earthenware. You know, somebody goes, what does that mean? It's like pottery with paint on it, okay? You know what I'm saying? So like a coating of silver dross over earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. That's so very, very important because, you know, he's telling us that, you know, that you can be all pretty and shiny on the outside and saying pretty and shiny things, but the heart can have evil intent. He goes on to say in verse 24 that enemies disguise themselves with their lips. They disguise themselves with their lips. But in their hearts, they harbor deceit. You know, we just got to quit being naive.
Right.
Just because somebody's telling you what's right doesn't mean they're right.
Yeah.
You know, we know people not by what they tell us. We know people by what they show us. We know them by their fruit, right?
That's right.
He said, many false prophets will come amongst you. Well, false prophets means people that are actually saying the right thing. He said, but you will know them by their fruit. Yeah, their fruit. And so, you know, you got to spend some time to know those who labor amongst you, as he says. And he goes on and says, though their speech is charming, do not believe them. For seven abominations fill their hearts. Their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. And I say that for this, because right now we have this huge political arena going on. And, you know, politicians are known for, you know, having, as they put it, you know, silver-coated lips. You know? But you got to find out, you know, what is the person, what's on the person's heart. And so many just don't say anything significant about what's going on. And so we can't know what their values are, you know, and you got to find out, you got to know. I remember when the governor of Florida, who's now governor now, was running for office, and I was talking to him, and I said, you know, that I asked him some questions. He said, well, it's on the website. And I said, well, I'm right here and I want to hear from you. You know, and he was very nice.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to I wanted to hear him share this with me, and I wanted to see him talking to me. And he shared it with me and was talking about his own personal walk with God, and you know, since then, how God has transformed his life and how he serves the Lord. And it was just very encouraging to hear personally. And we need to do that as a citizen. We need to do that. But the thing is this, that there's some people right now that they're saying all these right things, these pretty things with their mouth. But if you look at their decisions, if you look at what they're doing, if you look at their fruit, if you look, just don't just listen to what they're saying, because they could have silver-coated lips, but their hearts could be filled with deceit. And how you know what's in their heart is that you start seeing what they're doing. But it's almost like, Pat, it's almost like this, we've gotten into a place in our present culture that says, well, I'd just rather hear what's right. I don't care what I see. And it's like, well, no, it's like what you see is what you're going to experience, you know?
That's right.
And our country is just heading in a real bad direction right now. I believe it's headed in the direction it's headed because of the church. I think that he says, because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray,
right,
and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal the land. So I believe that America, a healthy America, is a byproduct of a church that's walking with God.
Right.
And unless the church repents, you know, and we quit believing, you know, silver-coated lips and beautiful speech, and when the fruit of the man or the woman is obvious before us, mm-hmm. you know, we just, you know, when you hear things, you think, man, that is so good. You got to be really careful when you're around these silver, coated lips, because it is like there's almost like a seducing spirit on those lips. Mm-hmm. Because they'll say things, and because the words are spirit, and it'll just go on you, and you think, I know that sounds so good, but that person's so wrong, you know? And you've got to deal with, you know, getting past those things that have been spoken. But you can just tell. You can tell when somebody says, you know, I'm a believer, but they don't know God's word. They don't want anything to do with God's word. They don't want, or they do know his words, but they're actually set his word aside, his commands aside for their own traditions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that says something despite what an individual's saying.
Right.
And what he's saying right here, he says, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. And I, you know, that's very important, you know, that you hereby have permission, according to God's word, not to listen to someone who is saying the right thing, but they're doing the wrong thing. And, you know, in the context of that, I think of, you know, some leaders that are across the board who are saying, not only saying some wrong things, but doing some wrong things. And misleading. It's very misleading. And this is the time right now that we need to be doing surgery, like with a scalpel. We need to be very careful how we're presenting God's truth. Because mm-hmm. there's so many lies right now. You know, so many religious lies right now. We got to be right. very careful.
Right.
That don't just assume the person knows what you're talking about. You know, take time to thoroughly, you know, conversate with the person and talk to them about, you know, what you're saying and get feedback. Don't talk at people, you know, talk with people and hear what they have to say. You know, what does that mean to you? And you'll be really surprised. And even children, I mean, they have some powerful things to say about that.
We'll be right back. The Battle of Gettysburg in July 1863 was an attack by Confederate troops on the North on their own soil. General Lee's plan was to win, thereby discouraging the Union in continuing. His plan failed, and it became the turning point in the Civil War.
4 months later, Lincoln delivered his Gettysburg Address. It took only 2 minutes to deliver, but it's considered one of the most stirring speeches in American history.
And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
The Gettysburg Address has biblical themes throughout, from such books as John 3 and Psalm 90.
Lincoln later said, in regard to this great book, I can only say it is the best gift which God has ever given man.
Experience the book that shapes history by visiting MOTB.TV. Take part in viewing this historic short film campaign by interacting with the film, the commercials, and the book itself. This fall, experience the book together, brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
I want to talk to parents today about the very important distinction between childish irresponsibility and willful defiance. Let me explain. Suppose little Chris is acting silly in the living room and he falls into a table, breaking some expensive china cups. Or maybe he loses his books on the way home from school or leaves his bike out in the rain. Now, these are acts of childish irresponsibility which are just inevitable during the early years. Forgetting things and losing things and spilling things do not represent direct challenges to authority, and they should be handled very gently. On the other hand, when a child stamps her little foot and tells her mom or dad to shut up, something very different is going on. She's moved into the realm of willful defiance. It occurs when the child knows what the parent wants, but she clenches her little fist, digs in her heels, and prepares for a battle. See, it's a refusal to accept parental leadership. When this kind of nose-to-nose confrontation occurs, a firm response is in order. Why? Because the question being asked is, who's in charge here? If a parent equivocates at that moment, a strong-willed child will precipitate other battles designed to ask that same question again and again. That's just the way he or she thinks. So it's the ultimate paradox of childhood that a youngster wants to be led, but demands that the parent demonstrate the courage to lead.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So he just tells us, he says, like a coating of silver dross over earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but their hearts harbor deceit. Though their speech is charming, and we have to understand that it could be so charming. I mean, nobody charms like somebody with a Jezebel spirit. It is amazing. I mean, you got to stand clear of that kind of spirit, man or woman, because they're going to try to charm you with their talents. They're going to try to charm you with their looks. They're going to try, right? And that's what's going to happen,
yeah, you know?
And you're going to go, oh, man, I so need this help. You know, it's like, I'm just here to help you.
I heard that before.
Yeah, and he said, do not listen to them. Mm-hmm. So you can't just keep on having that in your ear. You're going to have to say, you know, I can't just, this, you know, got somehow, you know, separate yourself from that conversation. He says, their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. And of course, I do say this, that, you know, if the enemy is held you captive and that's you, you've been doing that, that you can just say, God, I'm wrong. You know, I've sinned, you know, and that's what I've done. That's what Pat does, what everybody, you know, we repent. We just say, I realize now that that was wrong, that I shouldn't have been doing that.
Right.
And God forgives us and restores us. And it's encouraged then to get in the Word, get rightly related to, you know, Bible-believing believers who are actually learning the foundation of God's Word. So, so very important. So I encourage you, that's the word of wisdom, the moment of wisdom this morning. I'm excited about the second part of the first hour because we're going to have an interview with Steve Hill and Peter Wagner. And, you know, Steve Hill's gone through a lot. He was leader in the Brownsville Revival. And I just so admire him. You know, it's just an awesome man of God. And you're going to hear just fresh. It came out, and you're going to hear him talk something so important. And then we're going to talk to you about VFN and how, you know, we feel strongly that, you know, of all the things God's doing in the earth in this next season, that VFN or Vine Fellowship Network has heard from the Lord, and we're part of that. And there's an answer to what God is doing. He's prepared a way to obey him for the great harvest that's coming in this next season. Well, we'll be right back after these messages. You know, there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, that's what people go, yes. And then the political correct answer, another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. And so, but the thing is about it is that, you know, it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But, you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that he's a lover of your soul, and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom, and we're the bride, and this intimacy, and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that he says, remain or abide in me. I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
A lot of times, too, that you're asking a believer or a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just got to do this chore, all right?
Two chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, two chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's my sheep know my voice. And that's an inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
Think about it. I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's a living word, that it comes with the author, and that God explains it to you, and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this, and the enemy's kind of complicated it, you know what I'm saying? And it just... You know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like, they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God, and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff aside that you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. Because he says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org. You know, read over a little bit, and if you want to be able to request that plan, you can just request the plan. It'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, a whole everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple plan that we're seeing children, 8-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God, and just so excited because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you? You continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him. And you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there, iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.